Well, there's a story about a young, newly married couple. They've been married for about 3 or 4 years, and they were hoping to have children. But up to that point, they hadn't had any, but were trying and were very upset that they had not had children yet. So the priest who did their wedding said that he was heading over to Rome to work for the next 5 years in the Vatican, and he would do them a big favor. He would light a candle every day in St. Peter's Basilica that God would bless them with children. So 5 years goes by, and the priest comes back from the Vatican. He knocks on the door of the family's home, and the woman answers the door, and she's holding twin boys in her arms. And the priest notices there are three other children running around. The priest says, "Are these all your children?" The woman said, "Yes." The priest says, "Well, where's your husband?" The woman said, "He's over in Rome trying to blow out all those candles." Well, it should certainly be on all of our bucket list if you haven't gotten to Rome. Every Catholic should go to Rome sometime during his or her lifetime. If you haven't been there yet, make sure you put that on your list of things to do before you die. Because Rome, of course, is such an important city for us as Catholics. Just like the Muslims go to Mecca, Catholics should go to Rome sometime during their lifetime. Now, when you go to Rome, there are four major basilicas. You have St. Mary Major, which is the oldest church in the world dedicated in honor of our Blessed Mother. Then you have St. Paul's, which is just outside the city walls of Rome. It's over near the catacombs. So when people go out to visit the catacombs, they should stop to see the major basilica of St. Paul, where marks the place that he was beheaded and where his tomb is, where the remains of St. Paul is. Then you have the famous St. Peter's, the Vatican. And that's a very important church because the popes have lived there for the last few hundred years. But it is the place upon over which the bones of St. Peter are placed. The altar is built over the bones of St. Peter, our first pope. And now we have Pope Francis, the 266th successor of St. Peter. And you can take an underground tour of the Scavi and go down and see the place where the bones of St. Peter are, as well as the tombs of many of the popes and many of the saints. So if you were to ask a Catholic, well, what's the most important church in Rome? Everybody would say St. Peter's, but that would be incorrect. The most important church in Rome, historically and spiritually, is today's feast day, St. John Lateran. That is the most important church in the entire world, and in Rome, of course. Why is that? Well, because it is the Pope's parish. We have our parish of St. John's. That the St. John Lateran is the Pope's own parish. He is the pastor of that parish. And because he is the pastor of that parish, as well as the entire church throughout the world, every Catholic belongs to two parishes, their own parish. We belong to St. John's in Leesburg, but we also spiritually belong to St. John Lateran in Rome. It is the cathedral of the Diocese of Rome. And the popes lived there from the 4th century until the 15th century. Over 1,000 years, that is where the popes lived. That's where the popes were consecrated. And that's why it's such an important church historically. In fact, it was the first basilica ever built in the year 324. The original church of St. John Lateran was built by Constantine, the converted Roman emperor who made Christianity legal. Before, the Christians could not build a church. They had to have mass in homes and in the catacombs, the underground tunnels underneath the city of Rome. So thanks be to God, with Constantine's conversion, Catholicism, Christianity became legal. They could now build churches, and this was the first church built in the year 324. And it was named the Basilica of the Holy Savior after our Lord Jesus. but also dedicated to two saints, St. John the Baptist and St. John the Apostle. And it's called the Lateran Basilica because the family that donated the land was the Lateran family, the Laterini family. Now, the original structure was destroyed because of earthquakes, fire, and the ravages of war. The current structure was built in 1646. It is magnificent. And when you go there, you'll see the 15 colossal statues along the roof. One is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Also, John the Baptist, John the Apostle, and 12 doctors of the church. And what's so neat, the connection with our parish, is that the statue of St. John the Apostle on the outside of this church is an exact replica of the statue of John the Apostle from St. John Lateran. So Father Moseman was brilliant in coming up with that idea to have an exact replica of this most famous statue of John the Apostle from St. John Lateran Basilica. So we're probably the only church in the United States that has an exact replica of John the Apostle from the Lateran Basilica. What's also interesting is that in the Lateran Basilica, above the high altar is a reliquary that contains the relics of the table upon which St. Peter would say Mass, his altar, his wooden table. And so, again, it has interesting history. Now, there are 28 popes buried in the Lateran Basilica, so it's certainly well worth your visit because it is the mother church of all Christendom and it is our spiritual home. And it shows our unity with our Holy Father and with all Catholics throughout the world. But the other significance of today's feast day, in which we commemorate the anniversary of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, does also remind us what Jesus says today in the Gospel. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. What is the true temple that will never be destroyed? It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He even said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was referring to the temple of his body. And so we should be reminded that even long after all the great architectural wonders of the world are crumbling and dust, Jesus Christ will still be reigning in heaven in his glorified, resurrected body. He is the true temple. He has replaced the old temple of Jerusalem with his own body. And then St. Paul continues this theme in the second reading today, Corinthians. Do you as Christians not know that you also are temples of God? Isn't that important to remember? That our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, dwelling places of God. And he says, do you not realize that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. So you and I will live forever. Even though all the buildings of the world will crumble, the greatest temples are sitting right here in the pews. All of us, all of you, are temples of God and dwelling places of the most blessed Trinity. And God willing, we will live forever in heaven with a glorified body. And I think this is so important in today's society because you hear stories of, for example, the woman who moved to Oregon to commit assisted suicide, to take her own life. Well, why was that wrong? Why was what she did was wrong? Well, it is because on a number of reasons, you know, our bodies are temples of God and temples of the Holy Spirit. We are stewards of our bodies. God alone is the author of life, and only he can give life and take life. And to take innocent human life, whether it be through homicide or genocide or infanticide or suicide, is wrong. To harm an innocent person, including oneself. And that's why that is wrong what she did. We are in God's hands. We're not the author of our life. We're merely stewards of our bodies. And that we have to wait until the Lord calls us home. That is when we are called, not when we want to go. And so also we have to remember that human suffering is redemptive. Human suffering is valuable. Human suffering is not a waste. We can offer it up to the Lord. We can unite it to our Lord Jesus Christ, and it can be redemptive. We can offer it for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and for the conversion of the world. Human suffering is not like animal suffering. When an animal, like a horse, breaks its leg, yes, it is the merciful thing to do to put it out of its misery. That is the correct thing to do. Or if a dog or cat is dying of cancer, yes, it is the merciful thing to do to put that animal down. But for a human being made in the image and likeness of God, that life is so precious, so sacred, that that person can offer up their sufferings and unite it to Christ, and it can be redemptive, and it can help to save souls. And so that is why to take innocent human life, whether it be homicide, suicide, genocide, infanticide, is wrong in the eyes of God. Because our temples are dwelling places of God, dwelling places of the Blessed Trinity and of the Holy Spirit. So always remember that. And the last thought I think we can take from the readings today is that Jesus came into the temple to cleanse it, to drive out the money changers from the temple. And in our own souls, sometimes we have little money changers in our souls as well. Maybe it's impatience or arrogance or gossip or whatever it might be. How do we have Jesus cleanse our souls? Through confession. When we go to confession, we open up our hearts and souls and say, Jesus, please come into my life and drive out the little money changers in my soul. Drive out the sins through confession. Obviously, big sins, mortal sins, but even venial sins or other imperfections or things that are displeasing to the Lord. So just as in today's gospel, Jesus came into the temple and cleansed it. So when we go to confession, we say, Jesus, I give you permission to come in to cleanse my soul from sin and to make our souls pure and holy in the eyes of God, to be beautiful dwelling places of the Holy Spirit and of the Most Blessed Trinity. So when you go to Rome, God willing, you will see the four major basilicas. But don't forget that you yourself are God's temple. And even though those buildings will one day crumble, you will live forever, God willing, in the kingdom of heaven. So invite Jesus into your heart and soul to cleanse you from sin, to make you a beautiful temple of the Most Blessed Trinity.